We're starting a new Bible study series called The Enemy Within, Confronting the Heart's Hidden Battles. Every one of us were made by God, and every one of us have certain realities about us. We have a different personality type, and there are universal truths that are both scientific, psychological, but also spiritual. And that is that we were all made special, but at the end of the day, we were all made very similar to each other. And all of us in this room, our lives really revolve largely around nine basic desires, nine basic needs. And we're going to talk about those over the next 9 weeks, the Lord willing, on trying our best to confront the basic needs that each of us might struggle with. Next week, we're going to talk about the need to be loved. There are some people that just need to be loved, need to be accepted. And they will listen to music that they don't even like just because they want approval. They will send messages to people just so that they can have the approval and do everything they can. These are individuals that are servants. But oftentimes it's the motivation as to why they're serving. It isn't necessarily even out of pure joy. They just want to be accepted or loved. Another thing that we're going to look at is there are some people that couldn't care less if you love them, but they want to be successful. There is a lion outside, and I want to be the one that kills it. I want to be the one that has the biggest house. I want to be the one that is the most successful, and I will be the champion at all cost. My name will be at the top of all the names, and I will go on that trophy. I want to be successful. There are some who just want to be unique. Week four, we're going to talk about the need to feel unique, to be unique. And I went and did this so that I could be unique. There are some that really don't care about being unique, and they really couldn't even care about being loved. They just want to be secure. I want to know that my house is paid for and that I don't have to ever feel like I am not secure again. There are some that just want to know the truth. They want to be certain. What is the scientific truth? What is the actual truth? There are some, week seven, that just want to experience life. Let's just do something. What can we do? You want to do something, and in the middle of doing something, they're talking about what they want to do after they're done doing this. And you take them on vacation to France. And as they're getting on the plane to fly to Paris, they're saying, next month, would you like to go to Asheville? And you're like, but we're going to Paris right now. Yeah, but I've been thinking about how awesome Daytona is. The need to experience life. This is kind of my struggle, by the way. Week eight, the need to be strong and in charge. And then week nine is the need to be comfortable. Let's just be peaceful. Can we all just have peace? All right. But today, week one, the need to be perfect. Luke chapter number 18 is where we will be. And we're going to talk about the need of individuals to feel perfect. I want to ask a question because whenever I saw everybody on the platform there, it prompted this in my mind. If you are the child or the grandchild of a preacher, would you raise your hand just for a moment? The child or grandchild? Good gracious, look around right here. I was going to count, but I don't have that many toes. There's a lot here. The reason I wanted, and that was far more than I was expecting, but the reason I wanted to ask that is about half the church is a descendant of a preacher. That's wild. The reason I ask that is because preachers' kids probably feel this on a level that a whole lot of other people can't. And that is the need to be perfect. there might be people in this room today who have the need to feel like I've got to perform. I've got to have my life perfect. I want to read a few verses here out of the book of Luke, chapter number 18, verse number 9. We're going to start a little ways into verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the publicans were tax collectors for the Roman Empire, and yet they were Jews. They were seen by their people as being traitors. They were, in a lot of ways, actual traitors. They were getting and collecting money from their brethren to give to the conquerors. They were the type of people that you and me wouldn't even like if we were in that situation. And then there was the Pharisee. The Pharisee was the man who was committed to his nation. He was the man who had all of his I's dotted and his T's crossed, and he kept the letter of the law. So you've got a Pharisee who comes into the house of God, and he has his life together and is good by every metric. And then you've got a publican who is bad by every metric. And these two come into the place of worship. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I hear that and I just want to punch the guy in the face. Could you imagine, would you go ahead and lead us in prayer? Yeah, absolutely. Lord, I want to thank you that I am not like most other people. God, I thank you that I'm not like extortioners or people in this room who are unjust. Lord, I thank you that I'm not an adulterer. God, I want to thank you that I'm not like this person sitting beside me. Amen. Do you hear the absurdity right here? So you've got one guy over here that's praying that prayer. Not only that, he's going to double down. And I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. Doesn't this guy just need a good, swift kick to the teeth? I'm not like all these sinners. I give money and I fast. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says this. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's a great lesson that we should not exalt ourselves. I want to show you a picture that I am tired of seeing. Is anybody else tired of seeing this picture right here? All right. We see this picture. But I want to read again what Jesus says. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, and adulterers. This week, have you not prayed what the Pharisee prayed, but thought what the Pharisee thought? Daggone, that stung, did it not? There might be more Pharisee in this room than we care to think about. We might have a little bit more of this man in us than we realize. We may not say it right out, but oftentimes we think in our mind stuff that would put us right in that Pharisee camp really quickly. Going on here, week one, the need to be perfect. Oftentimes, those who feel the need to be perfect, we're going to get into this message now. Oftentimes, those who feel the need to be perfect have a mask of pride. I want to ask you this question today. Are you someone who feels like you have got to live to a standard in order to be accepted. I've got to live to this standard. I can't let anybody see that I might slip up. I can't let anybody see that I might not be what I ought to be. I can't let anybody see the real me. Oftentimes, most of the time, those who feel like they need to be perfect, what they're really doing is walking around with a mask. Because what's under that mask is something that is flawed. And if I allow somebody to see my flaws, then they will not like me or accept me. Therefore, I've got to put my mask on. He spake this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. These are people that believe that they're righteous, and yet they're just, it's all a facade. Self-trust replaces God-trust. If you're here today and you are someone who has walked into this room believing you are righteous, you are someone who has walked into this room believing that you have the ability to be perfect. If you are someone who struggles with, I've got to be perfect, let me say this right here. You trying to be perfect will only lead down a pathway that has you trusting in yourself and not in God. The Bible says every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You can live your life believing that you're perfect, but at the end of the day, God knows your heart, and you can't fool Him. Nobody in this room is expected to be perfect because nobody in this room can be perfect. You might have been brought up in a religion and in a home and in a background that demanded you be perfect, but you have grown up with a standard that is unattainable. And sometimes those flaws carry into adulthood to where now you're 35 years old, 55 years old, still trying to be perfect when you can't be perfect. The Bible even tells us there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. If you live your life trying to be perfect, all you are doing is trying to disprove the Word of God. Because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is explicitly clear. Nobody is perfect. And so if you set a standard for yourself that I have to be perfect and I will absolutely be perfect, what you're really doing is saying, I'm going to disprove the Word of God. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. God's Word will be true whenever everybody else is a liar. And rest assured, you will not reach that bar of perfection. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you labor in doing so, perfection is always going to be out of your reach. You will live a discouraged and sad life trying to always be exactly perfect. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have come into this place and you want to feel good and yet leave with your sin, this is the message you want to hear. Because you can misinterpret this thing 95 ways from next Tuesday to where you say, well, you heard the preacher. I can't be perfect, so I'm just a human. Don't misunderstand this message. This is not a license for us to go out and live the fool. Did you know I didn't even know who Coldplay was into this week? That's almost embarrassing, but I had no idea who they were, but maybe you did, but I didn't, and so I'm sure I've heard their stuff, but anyway, that was just beside the point. Don't come into this place and hearing these words and saying, all right, I can go out and go to the Coldplay concerts because none of us are perfect. That's not what this message is. This message is that person in this room that feels like I have got to be perfect, and if I fall just a little bit, I have ruined everything. You're never going to reach that level. Another reality is moral pride creates spiritual blindness. The only thing worse than somebody that is trying to be perfect is that person that thinks they have arrived at perfection. I have known people that have believed in their soul they have reached perfection. I've been around them. I've went to church with them. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So to begin this whole message, we begin with this premise. And that is, you will not ever be perfect. And if you think you're perfect, you have lied to yourself. But let's talk about the roots of perfection. Where does this mindset come from that I've got to be perfect? Those of you in this room that are struggling with perfectionism and I can't do anything unless it's perfect. Let me say this. If you have the mindset, I can't do anything unless it is perfect, you're going to have a messy bedroom, a messy house, an unfixed equipment. You're going to get nothing done. Because if you're only going to do things that are perfect, here's the truth, you ain't going to be doing very much. Because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where there are flaws. 95% good is a whole lot better than 0% good. 90% fixed is a whole lot better than 0% fixed. A whole lot of us are missing out on the 90% because we're using perfection as an excuse to do zero. Why some feel the need to be flawless? Here's the first thing. They were raised in environments where love was conditional, only shown when they performed well. Isn't it sad that that is a truth that so many of us have known? I only was loved if I performed well. What is a performance, by the way? It's acting. I went to Granite Christian Academy back in the day when Don Drake was there. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. I'll say his name right into the camera and smile. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I've watched what happens whenever children are brought up in a world where you have got to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, everything around you is conditional. I have been through that life, and I have seen what comes of it, and nothing but heartache comes from it. If you're here today and you were brought up in that world where I've got to be what I need to be at church, and I've got to put on the smiley face in the world, you are still probably struggling with perfectionism. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Man is concerned what you look like on the outside, but the Lord knows what's going on the inside. When we're talking about perfectionism, let's remember that the only person that knows that we're perfect are those who don't know the truth. God knows what's in our heart. And the Bible says that man might look at you and pat you on the back and say you're perfect, but God looks into the heart. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Man might be judging you for your outside appearance, judging you for your outside look. But look what the Bible says. The Lord of old said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The reality is, if you were brought up in a home where your love was transactional, you behave and you do right and you act right and I'll show you love. That's not the God kind of love. God's love recognizes that you and me are sinners by nature, and He loves us in spite of that. But God, who is rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Look what it says here. God is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead. Look at this. Verse 4 says God loved us. Verse 5 says even when we were dead in our sins, He loved us. You're here today trying to be perfect, and I'm here today saying God loves you even before you became a child of God. Even while you were deep in your sin, God loved you. What I'm trying to say is that God loves you not based upon your appearance. God loved you not based upon your past. God loved you based upon not your ability to impress. God loves you at your root. And so if you're here and you feel like I have got to be perfect in order to be loved, may I remind you this, that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ has already said, my love for you is not based upon your ability to be perfect. So why are we attaching this perfectionism to ourselves that I've got to be perfect in order to be pleasing to God, in order to be loved by God? God loved us even whenever we were broken. But go on here, here's another reason why people try to live perfectly. They fear rejection or failure, and perfection becomes a shield. If I'm perfect, then you can't criticize me. If I'm perfect, then you can't come over here and withhold love from me. If I'm perfect, then I don't have anybody that can hurt me. Perfectionism becomes a shield against rejection. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We just said that God loved you even when you're not perfect. And we just said that God's love for you before you were even a child of His was a love that is incomprehensible. So if God is rooting for me, what does it matter who likes me and who don't like me? What does it matter who's on my team and who's not on my team? If God loves me, it don't matter who's against me. So if I'm trying to be perfect to be loved, I've got to remind myself God loves me even though I'm not perfect. And if I'm trying to be perfect so that I'm using that as a shield to protect me, I got to remember this. God knows I'm not perfect, and He already said He's my shield. So moving on here, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. I love Psalm 94:14. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. There is a principle here. God will not cast off His people. So if I am part of the people of God, I've got a friend that loves me unconditionally forever and ever. Like Randy Travis said, forever and ever and ever, amen. Let's say that again together. Amen. Yeah. We are, Kevin, you could do better than that. I think you could lead us. You and Karen, I saw both of you were singing there. We're going to sing it together. The Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake. We've got a God who loves us in spite of our sins. Saying, I want you to live right. I want you to live holy. I want you to live as honorably as you can, as obediently as you can, but you're going to fail. And this is something I've learned raising daughters. My daughters have a way of proving me right time and time again. I'll say to them, you are going to slip up and fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to do things that you are ashamed of. And then they'll do it. And then they'll say, I did it. Oh. And I'll say, yeah, I told you you would. And they'll say, but, isn't it good to know that our Father's love is an unconditional love? You might have an earthly father whose love was conditional. You might have an earthly father who would reward good behavior, but any bad behavior was met with forsaking and no love and embarrassment and shame. Let me tell you about your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father has no end towards His love for you. Thank God Almighty that I've got a Savior whose love is unconditional. Here's another thing why people live their life in misery trying to be perfect. They believe God's love must be earned, not received. If you believe that God's love is something you have to earn, you will be the most miserable human alive. I'm going to be good enough to get God's love. That's a sad experience right there. Because you're always going to be asking yourself, am I doing enough to be loved? Am I being enough to be right? Am I enough? They believe God's love must be earned, not received. Look what the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. My relationship with God is by grace. Look at that, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nobody in this room that can beat and thump on their chest and say, I am part of the family of God because I've been good enough. There's nobody in this room that can say, I've earned God's love. It is by grace that not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody in here can boast of God's love. It is a gift. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You're trying to be perfect, and yet you still believe Titus 3:5 is in the Bible? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us? That shuts the book right there. What I'm saying before we move on is you are saved today not by works of righteousness which you've done. It is the gift of God. And until you can grasp that, you'll never know great peace. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll tell you another reason why people try to live perfectly, even though it is an absurd thing to do. They carry deep shame and believe perfection is a way to atone. I messed up 2 years ago, therefore I've got to be perfect from this day forward. I messed up 20 years ago, therefore from this point forward I've got to be perfect. I'm holding myself to a higher standard because of what I've done in the past, and yet you're never going to reach perfection. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. When you come to God, He takes you and He puts you over here. Chris, here you are. And then He grabs your sin and He takes off as far as the east is from the west. I've shared this, but it's my favorite little nugget in the Bible. The Bible says that He separates me from my sin as far as the east is from the west. I like that, being the geography weird nerd that I am. I like it. And the reason I like that is if I keep going north, into Bland County, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, the Erie Lake into Canada. I keep going north. There will come a time that I can't go north anymore. I'll reach the North Pole. And once I reach the North Pole, I'll start going south. I'll go into Russia. I'll go down into India, over the Indian Ocean, and back over. You can only go north for so long until you start going south. And you can only go south for so long until you start going north again. But the amazing thing is that if I take off running east and I run over top of the ocean, I can keep on going east for eternity and never start going west. Isn't that some mind-blowing stuff when you think about it? You can only go so far north until you start going south again. And you can only go so far south till you start going north again. But you go east or you go west and you'll never reach the end. You'll just keep going and going and going and going. God takes your sin and separates it as far as the east is from the west. Infinitely distant. Unimaginably far. So far that they can't even be mentioned in the same breath. And yet, somebody in this room is still being held hostage over something that happened years ago and trying to be perfect over something that God don't even remember. If God has forgiven you of your past, you need to forgive yourself of your past. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you have been forgiven by the God of heaven, you are no longer condemned. You're free. And you are absolutely a new creature because of it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I one-upped you right there. The mentality of perfectionism. The mentality of perfectionism focused on self, not God. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else. Hey, this is, if you're trying to be someone that is living this perfectionistic lifestyle, the mentality of that, let's talk about that mentality. I'm trying to be perfect. He thanks God for his superiority. What makes you think you're better than the Apostle Paul? If you're trying to be perfect, and Paul said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and if we say that we have any sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What makes you think you're better than the Apostle Peter? What makes you think you're better than the Hall of Faith? I've got a standard for myself. That's a pride thing. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. Here's another thing about that mentality of being perfect. Prideful religion lists performances. The Pharisee says, I tithe. I go without food twice a week. I fast. I am constantly doing, doing, doing. But that's a form of religion. If all your religion is a list of things you do better than other people, you're a Pharisee. If all your faith is do's and don'ts and walking a tightrope so that you can be better than the next person that pulls into the drive-thru behind you, you've missed the whole point of this thing right here. Christ came to set you free and to have a relationship with you. Now, how do I break the chains of perfectionism? You're here and you're saying, I am entangled and have been entangled from just a child of trying to live this perfectionistic lifestyle, and I know it's driving me mad. How do I break those chains? First of all, there is freedom in surrender. There is a great freedom in saying, I don't care. Now, I want to get deep into this here in just a moment. But there is freedom when you stop trying to be perfect. I had AI help me with this part right here. I know we don't like to use ChatGPT for the sermons, but I started once to use my yearbook, class of 03, and show you the people I graduated with versus where they are today. But I figured they wouldn't like that, and that would almost be Pharisaical of me. So I didn't. Instead, I just had ChatGPT draw the people for us here. Here is a whole lot of people that I went to high school with. Had to wear a dress 7 days a week. Had to go above and beyond, couldn't go to the movie theater, couldn't do anything at all, and there was a culture of we're better. A culture of, yeah, bless your heart. And where are those people? Let me tell you how bad it was. We went snow skiing at went snow skiing in West Virginia, and there was a rule that women couldn't wear pants, not to church, just in general, just can't wear pants anywhere. And so in order to make for sure that we were holy people, the girls had to wear skirts over top of their snow pants so that they're on the hill with a skirt over the snow pants, because God forbid somebody see our kids in pants. Imagine what that does to a young woman, 16, caring about her looks and has to wear a big bright blue skirt. The guys all look normal, and that's usually how all religions are. The Muslim man looks like anybody else, and his wife is completely walking around. The guys looked normal, but the women didn't. Those people who grew up in that, about 10% are still in church today, when 100% of them looked like this 20 years ago. A standard of perfectionism was set that was unattainable. So what happened? Pretending to be perfect is exhausting, and eventually most wear out. Can we all agree with that? Pretending to be perfect is exhausting, and most wear out. This is, AI decided one cigarette wasn't enough, we're going to give her two. That way when she gets done with this one, maybe one's tobacco and the other isn't. Most, I said, draw me a picture of what this person will look 20 years from now, having given up on trying to be perfect, and here we are. Most people wear out and get tired of trying to be spiritually perfect, and they just give up and embrace sin altogether. I'm speaking to my daughters today. I'm speaking maybe to your children today, and I might be speaking to you today. If you set a standard of I've got to be perfect, you will get tired of trying to be perfect. And if you get tired of trying to be perfect, you will be tempted to stop trying altogether. And when you stop trying altogether, you'll turn your back on everything that is holy and good. I've seen this so many times in my life. I've got probably 40 people I could name that have done this. Let's talk about the alternative. Here's how to break this. the Pharisees' adversary, if you want to say, the publican, he stopped pretending like he belonged. He quit trying to look like he belonged. The publican just said, I'm not even going to try to impress that Pharisee. And here's the thing, you're never going to be accepted in a Pharisee's eye. Instead, the publican just finds him a place over in the corner, and the publican starts praying to God. He don't even lift his head up, because in his mind he says, I don't belong here, but I'm just going to keep on praying to the God of heaven. The publican standing afar off, wow, I love verse 13, the front of it. The publican stood afar off. The Pharisee is over here front and center and causing a big show, and the publican says, you're an idiot. I'm just getting over here with God. How can I break free from having to be perfect in my mind? The first step is putting distance between you and that crowd that says you've got to be perfect. Just say, I'm done playing your game. It's getting real with me now. He stood far off and would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He stopped being concerned about whether he was accepted. The greatest, most freeing thing you can do in your life is to quit worrying about what religious people think of you. Quit worrying about what that group that you went to church with when you were 12 years old thinks about you. Because they had standards that Jesus didn't even have. And yet here you are today, and God has forgiven you, saved you, given you a fresh start in life. And he says, why are you even worried about them? Here we see what Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can keep the sword of the Lord. You can keep the religious paraphernalia. You can keep the legalistic crowd. You can keep all of the craziness that is in this world. I'll just hang out with Jesus. He says, come to me, you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you see what we're talking about here? A God who gives broken people rest. But what do I got to do in order to get this? He just says, come to me. That's the difference in religion and Christ Jesus. Religion says you've got to do this, 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 and this, and then maybe he'll talk to you. And Jesus is saying, come on. I know you were hurt, and I know you were done wrong. I know you were messed up. Come to me. Jesus is saying, come on, you don't have to be perfect. People have set a standard for you, but that don't matter. Come to me. Come and I will give you rest. And you're saying, I'm not worthy. And he says, I know. Come on. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's the God of this church. A God who loves broken people. And he's near individuals whose spirit is broken. The first thing to do is quit worrying about what a bunch of fools have set a standard that the Bible hasn't even set. God's word is enough to follow and enough to keep. I struggle keeping God's word. I don't need you adding to God's word. Would we all agree on that? There's this book right here, this is thick enough. I'm still struggling on trying to obey all of this. Please don't add more to it. I'm not there yet. Maybe you're there and you can start adding to it, but I'm still here. The second thing we see here is the The public can get honest with God and himself. This is not a man trying to be perfect. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but started thumping his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You will not get the kind of relationship with God when you're trying to impress him with your ability. This man right here said, I know I'm not worthy, but God, would you just show mercy to me? Here's the last thing. He got real help and peace from God. When you stop worrying about what the Pharisee thinks of you, and you stop worrying about trying to be accepted by those who are holding you to a standard that is not even biblical, you'll find peace. And when you find that peace and you get honest with God and say, God, I've tried my whole life, and if I'm going to be honest, I have been a lying, hypocritical, untrue person walking around with a mask most of my days. God, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm getting real with you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have peace. And the Bible tells us this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. James 4 says this, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The message today is to that person that feels like perfection is the standard. You can't meet that standard. Instead, I'm offering you something from the Word of God that is sweeter than you being perfect. And that is you being imperfect, and yet God loves you in spite of it. I, as a father, do my best to remind my daughters constantly, you're going to mess up and you're going to fail. And when you do, I don't want you to feel like your relationship with me is over. I want you to know the same dad that loved you yesterday is the same dad that'll love you tomorrow. That's me as a father. And here's the secret. I'm a terrible father some days. I lose my temper. I get crazy. I'm not always good. On Facebook, I look good. But in real life, I don't always do good. But even if me as a father who is imperfect has that kind of thought towards my children, how much the more is our Father, the God of heaven, loving us with that perfect kind of love? Now again, this message is not a license, go out and live recklessly and carelessly and sinfully and all that. That is not this message today. Please don't do that. That would make me feel bad that I preached you into living crazy. So, no, don't do that. But what I do want to say is know that God loves you even when you fail. And when you fail, the same God that loved you that morning is the same God that loves you that evening. And he's always willing to start fresh with you again. You may have been hurt by religion, but don't hold that against God. You may have been hurt by church people, but don't hold that against God. He loves you better than anybody could.